Orlando, come with me if you want to live.
Oh, you're so cheesy.
I'll be back.
Oh, that would be my closing line.
Well, I mean, this movie has just so many lines to it, even though my favorite is Talk to the Hand.
Which one was that one?
Well, that was in T3.
Oh, I was going to say.
Which we're not covering today.
No, because a new movie has taken its place.
A retcon has happened.
Yes.
What's a retcon? Well, if you listen, you'll find out.
Mm.
So, today we're talking about the Terminator franchise. A kind of-ish. Again, listen, you'll find out which ones we're going to talk about. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Rolando.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. Let's go. So welcome, guys. This is exciting. Over the last couple of days, we took a poll on our social media, primarily on Instagram, but it was also active on Facebook, and we got a couple of votes there. I think only two.
Did we?
We did.
Okay.
but we asked people, because right now there's just like so much going on. We're kind of overwhelmed with our like one every week episode with what to do. So we asked you guys what you wanted to hear. If we should do the Terminator franchise with Terminator Dark Fate, or if we should do the long-awaited revival of The Shining with the sequel Dr. Sleep. And majority picked the Terminator movies.
The Terminator.
So if you're listening, by the way, and you want to partake in these like polls that we do, if you want to have like a direct say in the things that we cover, be sure to follow us on social media. That is how your voice will get heard. Or you can always email us. On social media, we are at Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals on Instagram. We have a Facebook, facebook.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. We have a Twitter. We're not so active on that. Maybe soon we'll get going on that.
Apparently, Eddie Z has promised to take over the Twitter.
Aww.
Because he loves to tweet about random like remix news he sees.
Really? That's his 2020 goal and wish.
Yeah, that's...
And where can they email us, Orlando?
And you can email us at our Gmail address, which is remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com.
So yes, so all our listeners out there, that is how you get to have your voice heard. And for the listeners who voted, thank you for your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So this show is for you guys, and fuck you for choosing this movie.
Oh, really? I actually disagree. I actually am pleasantly surprised at how much I enjoyed the new Terminator, and I think it's going to carry a conversation that we started last week with Charmed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This is okay. All right. Exciting, interesting, always great when we have strong opinions about things.
Mm-hmm.
So first though, we're going to talk about the Terminator 1, Terminator 2, which is not the Terminator. So it's the first one is the Terminator 1984.
Right.
T2, Judgment Day 1992, and then we're going to jump all the way to 2019 for Dark Fate, because apparently this is retconning the Terminator franchise, which means that at some point, all the films that came out between T2 and this never happened, which is Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. Terminator Salvation.
Uh-huh.
And then Terminator Genesis, which was a reboot a couple years ago.
That was an actual reboot?
Yeah. We'll talk in passing about these films, but we're really going to focus on those movies. So.
And now you forgot to include the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
In television, yes, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And I guess we should also include the 3D film at Universal Studios.
There's a 3D film in Universal?
Yeah, T3D. I forgot what it's called.
That definitely doesn't count.
Well, James Cameron directed it, so technically it counts. Just like Eddie Z is doing right now.
Yes, that's right. Eddie Z is not with us today because he is enjoying his bachelor party. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, he will know where he is because it's supposed to be a surprise. But
yes,
you guys can all find out. He's going to Star Wars land.
How exciting.
I know.
So let's do this. Let's talk about some Terminator movies, guys. Let's go back to 1984. You're at the theater. You're choosing between a movie to see. You could go see Ghostbusters, the biggest movie of that year, which we talked about in an episode, and we might actually have to do again next year. You could go see Body Double or Terror in the Isles or Places in the Heart. Movies you've never heard of, probably.
Sir, I've never heard of these. I barely heard of Ghostbusters.
Places in the Heart's a good movie. Yeah. But you take a chance on the second film feature by a filmmaker named James Cameron, and you watch The Terminator.
I'll be back.
Come with me if you want to live.
James Cameron had this idea one day. He had a dream about like this metallic force like coming at him with knives and stuff. And he's like, oh my God. And he had this whole vision that later became the Terminator movies.
Interesting.
Orion thought it was going to be a flop. So Orion was like, we'll release it if you find somebody else to fund it. Got someone else to fund it. It cost them $6 million to make. Schwarzenegger did not believe in the project. You know, most people involved were just like, whatever, some weird sci-fi movie.
Wow, this movie only cost $6 million. Wow, that's
yeah.
actually really good considering the movie, rewatching it, still holds up pretty well.
I think so. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of it that was kind of weird to watch, but it still does hold up well.
No, I mean, in terms of script, in terms of even practical effects, I thought it was...
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. The effects were pretty cool. Did you actually know that the metallic Terminator was developed when he came up with the script, but he said, I can't do the technology for that yet? So he scrapped that idea, and he resurrected it for the 1991 film. But yeah, so... Also, Schwarzenegger, I think this is what, like, catapulted him to superstardom.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
And he was just like, well, I guess I'll do it. You know, like, he didn't really want to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, The Terminator is about a woman named Sarah Connor, who
is played by Linda Hamilton.
Is played by Linda Hamilton, who gets visited by two humanoids, one who is out to kill her, who is played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he is a robot that was designed to have human-like features sent back in time so it wouldn't arouse any suspicions because he's out to kill Sarah Connor.
Do you know the model name? In the first two films, he's model 101 and then T-101. Nobody know. And then I guess they add the T for the third film and the T2 trilogy. And then T-800 in the later films.
So what is he for this one?
Just model 101.
Model 101, okay. So.
Model 101. So there you go. That's your fun trivia.
Fun. That was so much fun. So that's the one that gets sent back in time to kill her, but... Little do they know that the resistance of the future also sent someone back in time to protect her from this model. And this man's name is Kyle Reese. And he was sent by her son, they're pretty much out to kill her because she gives birth to the leader of the resistance, John Connor. So John Connor.
Oh, I thought you said Sean Connor.
No, John Connor.
John Connor.
Yeah. Just a very average name, John Connor. And he's the leader of the resistance. Mm-hmm. And in the future, there is a threat. Skynet pretty much gets power. The robots take over the world.
Right.
Artificial intelligence apocalypse happens, and they are out to destroy all human beings.
As AI is probably going to do.
Yes, as our yes,
probably. I mean, it's a tale as old as time, if you think about it.
Is it?
Yeah.
When was the first time we heard this tale?
Actually, before this, I want to say that it was an H.P. Lovecraft story, wasn't it?
There's definitely things that like occurred in like have been, Outer Limits, Twilight Zone.
Yeah, but there's been science fiction about AI uprising.
Definitely been dystopian.
Wasn't iRobot literally based off of a novel?
I never read iRobot. I wouldn't know.
iRobot is actually, it's by Isaac Asimov. Do you know what he's famous for?
No.
The Three Rules of Robotics.
Oh, look at that.
yeah, The Three Rules of Robotics, which is a robot shall not hurt man, some stuff like that. If you know it,
well, he's a liar.
Tweet us. Well, yeah. I think that's the reason why the story is so compelling.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, it's a tale as old as time, and we already know, you know, like Apple products and our Samsungs are going to one day kill us.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, a John Connor will rise from the ashes and save us all. Because apparently, the resistance wins. The big, should we give away the spoiler at the end?
If you haven't seen it by now.
If you haven't seen The Terminator since it came out in 1984, the film adheres to destiny time travel logic. So Kyle Reese goes back in time. Within the very short amount of time that him and Sarah Connor meet, they kind of have this really infatuation thing and they fuck. And she gives birth to Kyle Reese's son, which is John
Connor. I know, what
Connor.
A hoe bag is Sarah Connor, right?
Think about all the like adrenaline, though, of like, oh my God, we're dying and you're protecting me, and that raw sexuality that's true. Happening and yes. that chemistry. I mean, that like, hell yeah.
Those relationships are usually doomed to fail.
Yeah, they definitely are, yeah. But like, he was just good for his sperm.
You call this what kind of time travel?
Oh, destiny time travel.
It's technically shoestrap time travel.
So that's
bootstrap,
interesting.
I'm sorry, bootstrap.
Bootstrap. Where you can predict paradox. Your own.
No, it's not that you're predicting your own. It's just like the events of the future have to happen. What's it called? The events of the future take place because something from the future went to the past that made it so.
Yes.
It's a bootstrap.
Which, yeah.
So in this case, like, Kyle Reese is sent to the past, which helps conceive John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And because John Connor is conceived, he is able to lead the revolution.
Yeah, that's kind of destiny. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean when I say that. And that's a very specific time type of time travel, because it pretty much means that no matter what happens, this was always meant to happen, which also makes me think that no matter what they do, Skynet is always going to take over the world and the human race is doomed.
Which we learn at the end of Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like not the case.
Which makes no sense.
Not necessarily. Time travel, you know, I think...
Time travel makes no sense to me.
Makes no sense to me. And actually, yeah. If anyone from my D&D group is listening to me, it's just like, you're going to learn. It's just like, it makes no sense to me. And my whole D&D campaign is based off of the idea of time travel.
Really?
Yeah. but with that said, I think... even in the first one, like they had references to that, like destiny is not written, like they can change things still.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of T2's like main storyline about like how, you know, you can change destiny.
Yeah, I guess for me too, it's like ever since I've seen Back to the Future, which has like two completely different like ideas of time travel in one film.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been like, I don't understand time travel. I don't understand the ethics of it. So for two different films to adhere to two different time travel theories, I don't get it.
No, time travel is whatever you want it to be.
I guess so.
Make it up as you, it's not real.
But then it's like, so what are you trying to say? Destiny is like, one movie says destiny and fate is real, and then the other one says, no, it's not. You make your own destiny.
Well,
you make your own
which
fate.
One's saying that destiny?
The first one, because Kyle was always meant to be his father.
Yes, but that's not saying that destiny is going to... The whole reason the Terminators are there are to literally prevent this destiny from happening.
Yes.
So you understand? So like, it's just like...
But they were always meant to fail because they had the idea that they could do that. But then Kyle would go back and stop them always and give birth to John.
Theoretically, I guess on a theoretical level, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Well, that's why this is a bootstrap theory. Like, it's a loop. They're in a time loop.
Yeah.
Basically.
So yeah.
It's like this sets off the events that will just constantly be on a loop.
Crazy.
And then I mean, it's because of this time loop though that they're able to do so many versions of the Terminator movies, because
yeah.
You know, as we're going to continue this conversation, like, because of this time continuity error, like, technically speaking, like, if you want to imagine that all these other Terminators are still, you know, canon,
mm-hmm.
when you can, it's just because when you do time travel, you also introduce a theory of multiverses. Like, you know, the actions in this universe happen this way, but like, what if something else happened?
Yes, and the other one.
And, you know, spoil, this is where we kind of get to the new one, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Yes. You know. And that's also very much Genesis, which I'll discuss because
I never saw Genesis. Yeah. You saw Genesis?
A little, yeah.
You must be like the only five people who did.
Well, I have opinions about that one, but I won't go there just yet. Overall, what were your thoughts of the Terminator 1984 movie?
It was actually... So, the Terminator was the third Terminator that I saw.
Was this your first time recently?
No. No, not my first. No, I saw it years and years ago. But the first one I actually saw was actually Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. That was the first one I saw, because wow. That one came out as I was like, what? A tween teen?
Yes.
And I was constantly playing on like on TV and stuff, and my dad liked it, so I watched it. I liked it,
mm-hmm.
which made me go see the Terminator 2 at my dad's insistence. Liked it too. Then mm-hmm. the Terminator 1 was... I saw them out of order. I saw them...
That's so funny.
And it's so funny. Like, I guess T2 was actually used to be my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
But rewatching these now, I think Terminator 1 is the superior
film. I like Terminator 1, you know, because they're very different. Terminator 1 plays more like almost like a slasher science fiction movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor is a damsel in distress in this movie. Mm-hmm. I like the whole idea of, like, the Sarah Connor serial killer. Like, actually, it's so funny. Now that you mention it, it is basically just a horror movie.
Yeah.
With just a science fiction thrown into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
pretty gory, too.
Pretty, yes. Very, like, bloody. It's dark in its tone, mm-hmm. you know? Like, the second one is a lot funnier.
Yes.
It's a lot... Feels lighter, and it just feels more like an action film.
Yes.
Which is interesting because, like, James Cameron really knows how to make sequels. And the film he made after The Terminator was Aliens, which, in comparison to its first darker, more horror-like film, was just a pure action film.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Avatar 2 won't suck.
I have low expectations.
But, yeah, getting back to The Terminator, I really liked it also because she becomes this unexpected hero. You know, she's just, like, this girl. who has a shitty job as a waitress. You know, her friend at the diner is an asshole. Makes fun of the fact that someone's out there killing Sarah Connor.
I know, right?
That was so dick.
It's just like, Sarah, look, you're famous.
You're next. Like, oh my God, you're such a cunt.
Really?
But then, like, this just kind of, like, falls on her lap, and her life and her world is completely turned upside down. And then when we learn by the second one, her personality and who she is completely turned upside down.
You call her a heroine. Is she a heroine in this one? She's really, I would say she's a damsel in distress.
She's very much a damsel in distress. Like,
I mean, she's a MacGuffin. She is a MacGuffin in this film, in the first one.
I guess. Well, also, I'm clouded by the fact that I know who Sarah Connor becomes, too. So, this is like, true. Like, I see her, and I'm like, oh, look at who she was. And I kind of appreciate, like, her vulnerability before her life just
it's completely changed. It's so interesting, too. Kyle Reese was, like, madly in love with her because of all these stories he heard from
Mickey's. And her picture.
And the photo, right?
Weird.
And it's just like, that is kind of creepy. But at really the same creepy. Time, is that because John Connor was just like trying to like sow the seeds there of just like, you need to conceive me, so like please fall in love with her?
Yeah, probably. And that definitely sounds like, if that was me, I would that's what I would do. My mom was the best. Oh man, she was kind of hot, you know, like shit like that.
Like her but JJ is gonna rock your world, man. I know, man, I've been there.
Okay, now this just got out of hand.
He's making a compelling argument for Kyle Reese, who was like really 80s hot.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate it growing up, like watching him, but like rewatching him now, just like, oh, he's very, very. I see why Sarah Connor put out.
Played by Michael Biehn.
Ew. That's a terrible name. That's his name.
Yeah, he was very 80s big too. He wasn't really big past, I think, like mid 90s.
Oh, what else has he done?
Well, he was in Aliens.
Oh, that's right. He was in Aliens, as was Bishop. The guy who played Bishop. I don't know his name.
Yes. And I think he was in The Abyss, too. So he was in a few Cameron films.
Interestingly enough, Alien and Aliens, like these two movies between Terminator and T2, like they have big similarities.
They do.
In terms of the character, right? We have our main female characters, this damsel in distress. I would argue, obviously, Sigourney Weaver's character is a little more stronger. Obviously, she's in space and stuff.
Yeah.
But... But still, at the same time, she's just being chased by this monster.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second one, she turns into this badass heroine figure.
Same thing happens to Sarah Connor.
Which is exactly what happens to Sarah Connor, for sure. Yeah.
So I also, before we get into T2, I want to just say that I like the Terminator 2 because I really like that they played on the sex part of it, which is something that was really lacking in all further iterations of Terminator.
What do you mean the sex part?
Well, in this one, you know, they succumb to the fact that this is all like their endorphins are high, you know, like shit is crazy and their sexual energy is probably really raw and T1. All over the place. Yeah, T1.
You said
and
T2.
Until we get to T2.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, they have really hot, passionate sex, which is awesome.
Which is graphic too.
Which is, yes, but it's also realistic.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know.
Put yourself in that scenario.
If I'm getting gunned down and some monster's chasing me, I'm thinking
you're
going to
probably, yeah.
I guess, right? Like, it's just your need to procreate. It's just like, fuck, I got to get out of the way.
Yeah, seriously. Or it's just like all this built up like energy and all this stuff. You got to put it somewhere, you know? So I liked that aspect.
So Kyle Reese put it in.
So he put it in her. In Sarah Connor. It's the least family friendly one. I actually didn't watch T2 again because I've seen it so many times because as a kid I liked it so much. But I did watch a little bit of the Terminator 1 again, and I agree with you now, but then I haven't watched T2, so I gotta say,
I rewatched T2 too.
And did you?
I did.
And did you love it?
John Connor annoys the fuck out of me now.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. He's snotty little kid, and I'm just like, you know what, this movie would be so much better if it was just Sarah Connor.
All right, so let's talk about T2. In 1984, when The Terminator came out, it did not even reach the top 10 of the most successful films of that year.
Wait, Terminator did not break top 10?
No, it didn't.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah, but when it came out in 1991, it was the highest grossing movie of that year.
Mm-hmm.
It also had more time. I think Terminator 1 came out in October of that year, and T2 came out in July. So it had more time to completely dominate the
July
box office.
July is typically a box office
grabber. Well, as we said before in other episodes, like in when we talked about Beauty and the Beast, you know, 1991 was quite the year for movies. I mean, I think it took T2 tick off Robin Hood from the top spot, the Prince of Thieves movie.
Ew.
Point Break was there. Boys in the Hood had just came out. Naked Gun 2.5 had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
City Slickers. You know, other movies that came out the year were Hook and Silence of the Lambs. Good fucking year for movies. Mm. And this was the highest grossing film. It took a long time for this film to get made because James Cameron was adamant that he's like, they don't have this, like, the computer generated imagery that I need for me to tell this story yet. Mm-hmm. So he waited and it paid off. It took him like 6-7 years, but it paid off. T2, 1991. So 84 to 91.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he made Aliens, The Abyss, and all that stuff in the time.
Come with me if you want to live. Hasta la vista, baby.
So T2 is similar to his sequel for Alien with Aliens in the sense where now, you know, this woman, Sarah Connor, who had this horror movie happen to her, becomes a hero. She becomes a heroine. She becomes a badass. Unfortunately, she becomes too much of a badass.
I would not classify her as a heroine.
And well, no, she's an
bad
asshole.
Mother.
She's
right. We could just say that right there.
She's a terrible mother.
She's a terrible mom.
But she's got so succumbed and so consumed by this that she raised John a very particular way to prepare him. And like, she was obsessed with, like, you know, like, fuck the big corporations and fuck Skynet. And she was caught, what, bombing up some building or something that they put her in an asylum.
Yeah, she was trying to figure out, like, what possibly might cause.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to keep in mind, I don't think even Skynet is brought up in Terminator. I don't think that really comes up until the second one,
yeah.
Right? Like, or at least the lore really gets established. I think we may have heard the word Skynet from Kyle Reese when he's like giving a background. But keep in mind, like, Kyle Reese is like growing up in this post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
You know, you only know so much.
True.
And
well, apparently he knows a lot about the machine that's after her.
True. I'm sure that, you know, the Resistance had taken down a few and kind of dissected them.
Yeah.
Is that what? That's what
I guess.
Would, as a
I don't know.
Resistance.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. It was kind of a little wonky on that. It's like, why do you know so much about this, but not about like the whole general thing?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyle Reese could be like, you know, John Connor. John Connor could literally be limiting the information that the people know. He could be a tyrant for all we know.
This is true.
We don't know what he's like in
We don't until Salvation.
Yes.
But we're not counting that. But yeah, so as a result of really bad mothering, John Connor doesn't have any proper guidance.
No.
And John Connor in this movie, what is he like? No more than 11? He's a very young, lost misfit. He becomes a hoodlum, essentially.
Wait, I just realized, what year did Terminator 1 take place in then? Or was T2 taking place in the 80s?
Yeah, so Terminator 1 was definitely 1984. Terminator 2 is set in 1995.
Oh, it's set in 95. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that checks out.
Yeah.
Because of the... Because
he's 11.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is interesting that it's 1991, but it takes place in 1995.
No, you know, they had a date for the apocalypse.
Yeah, August 29th, 1997.
Yes.
As Judgment Day. So, yeah. So John's being raised by foster parents and just terrible mothering happening by Sarah, but there's some great acting that's happening by Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
I'll give you a fun fact. Did you know that Linda Hamilton has an identical twin sister?
I did not know that.
So there are some scenes in this movie where, especially where when they have the Arnold Schwarzenegger and she's like dissecting his head and they're doing a mirror reflection, that's her identical. It's not a mirror reflection, it's her identical twin.
Oh,
and then a fake prop of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, and she sometimes don't quote me on this one. I think she's sometimes used for the stunts.
Oh, yeah. Poor sister. Like, she's the expendable one.
They only need her when it's like, hey, you're useful. Come on set. But yeah, so now in this film, there again are two humanoids sent to, one to kill John Connor. Mm-hmm. And this time, not his mother. They're not going to stop at it. They're going to kill the baby. They know that the job gets done. And the one to protect him. Mm-hmm. The one to kill John Connor is a T-800. No, it's a T-1000 model.
Okay.
And he's super advanced. And he's like even more like, you can't fuck. Because the thing about these machines is that you can't kill them.
Right, they're machines.
They're like, they're out to kill you and you can't reason with it. Kyle says this whole thing, you know, you can't do anything. Like, even as much as you can try, like, you can only probably slow it down as much as you really can't kill it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even more so, this T-1000 you can't kill. But John Connor has sent back, to save himself, has sent back a reprogrammed T-800 that looks like the Model 101 Terminator to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes this weird thing where it's like, whoa, Schwarzenegger was out to kill you in the first one, but now he's out to save you in the second one.
I know. I kind of wish now I hadn't seen T3 first.
Yeah.
Because, you know, by the time I'm watching Judgment Day, I know he's supposed to be a good guy.
Yes.
Although I got to imagine, like, if I had to put myself back in there, just like, and if you watch him in order, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it gets spoiled in the commercials that, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the good guy. But even then, it still must have been so cool to kind of, like.
It would have, yeah, having the relationship.
Yeah,
and
because,
stuff.
Like, from even storytelling perspective wise, like, they show you the two landing as, like, Kyle Reese did and the Terminator did in the first one. Mm-hmm. And you don't really. You know, you're automatically, if you're watching this and don't know anything about it, you just assume that Terminator is back and, like, this other guy must be the one who's trying to protect John Connor.
Yeah.
And then there's that great reveal in the mall where it's just like, you know, John Connor is being chased by, like, the Terminator. And then it's just like, oh, shit, this other person has a gun. What do I do? And Terminator, mm-hmm. like, helps him. And it's just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That was, yeah, that was a great reveal. And because you're doing this complete 180 on us, it makes sense that the tone then becomes different. Mm-hmm. You have to then make it a film that is more lighthearted, mm-hmm. and more you build a relationship with the Schwarzenegger one, because you once identified him as this fucking horrific killer, but now he's your friend. So the rapport that happens between John Connor and him is, like, really cute and really light, and he, like, teaches him weird American phrases and all this stuff.
I would call it really annoying.
And
that's just me.
You don't like the rapport they build?
You know, I liked it, I guess, as a younger, right? Mm-hmm. Because you want to see yourself as John Connor. You want to see, it's just like, I have this. I'm special. I have this future ahead of me. Yeah, of course they're going to fucking send the robot to be my best friend and mm-hmm. protect me. But watching it as a though, I'm just like, fuck you. I can't.
You're just not charmed by him?
No, I am not.
Well, I feel like it had the most humor of it too, because, you know, and also it's like they're sent back to kill a kid. This kid is nothing near what he's going to be in the future yet. You know, he's still very much a little bratty kid, but he has also, he's put in the situation. It's one of those things where it's like this bratty kid is put into a situation where he has to become a hero and he has to learn the strength within himself. And then at the same time, when his mother breaks out of the mental hospital she's in and they, like, form a relationship again, you realize how much he's just been neglected. So they try to, like, build back this relationship between Sarah and John. And she's such a terrible mom. There's, like, one moment where he thinks he's going to hug her, but all she's really doing is checking his body for bullets. And then it's like, oh, my mom's not going to hug me. She just wants to make sure I'm okay.
I don't know. That's a smarter thing to check for, I think, than a hug. To be honest.
Well, of course. Yeah, but still, but like.
That might be the most matronly thing that she did. Maternal thing that she did.
In some ways, she's a great mom. In some ways, she's not a good mom. In affection and.
I would say it's just like, you haven't seen your son in, like, how many years? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, maybe you say, hey, good to see you, instead of like, you should not have saved me. I could take care of myself.
Yeah.
You're putting the whole future at risk. It's just like, that's still a lot of responsibility to put on this poor kid.
Yeah.
Because he's still just a kid.
That's, yeah, and that's what it is that he is just very much a kid. She does not treat him as that. She puts him on a pedestal. But even then, you know, he's fragile.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, did Mary put this much pressure on Jesus, you know? Because she knew that he was going to be the savior.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, I'm asking any religious bros out there, let me know.
Yeah, you know, we don't have time to read the Bible and find out, so just give us some.
Eddie must be rolling his eyes if he listens to this.
But yeah, the T-1000 in this movie too, he has this liquid thing that he can happen, like the bad guy, played by Robert Patrick.
God, these guys and these names.
he's in a lot. He was in Die Hard 2, he was in Wayne's World, he was in Last Action Hero. He was in The Faculty, Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, Spy Kids. I mean, like, a lot. He's a character actor.
Interestingly enough, though, right? How they went from this super jacked up guy, mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger,
mm-hmm.
and now this villain is kind of like this older,
scrawny guy.
Scrawnier. Yeah.
Yeah. They learned how to downsize
mm-hmm.
and perfect it. Yeah. Because he also, I mean, if you thought that Arnold Schwarzenegger was hard to kill in the first one, this guy's nearly impossible to kill.
Yeah, because his liquid shape is really what gives him advantage here.
Yes, but fire can kill him.
Well, melted metal.
Yes.
Like, it has to be hot.
Enough. Has to be really hot.
Not just any old fire. Because even, you know, nitrogen doesn't freeze him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, from all these ways to kill these things, they kept learning the ways that they would make their machines better, Skynet. And by the time we get to Dark Fate, they're nearly fucking impossible to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get there, you liked Terminator 2?
Yeah, I always enjoyed Terminator 2. It's a good action movie.
Yeah.
It does have some wonderful action sequences. Just rewatching, I was kind of surprised at how little you actually see the second Terminator, mm-hmm. is mostly really focusing on Arnold Schwarzenegger and kind of trying to form this relationship with Linda Hamilton's character because she was almost murdered by this character, or at least what looks like this character, right? So that's a hard thing to like kind of process.
Well, there's a lot of character development between John Connor, between Sarah Connor, and then the machine, the Model 101, the T-800. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of time spent with them and getting to know them, which is nice. Because that's something that I feel like all other Terminator films lack. Even the first one.
Oh, the first one. No, but the first one, he's a bad guy, though.
Well, between Kyle and Sarah. Like, even though, like, you know, it's awesome and they have all this infatuation and chemistry, like, it still is kind of lacking.
Mm-hmm.
But this one really spends the time in that development.
Yeah.
Like, so overall, I think this is a really strong script.
It becomes a buddy comedy.
Yeah, and
not
which
a
is
comedy, but
cute.
A buddy action.
And film. A buddy action film with moments of comedy. I definitely think this is the tightest script. I think Linda Hamilton's acting is superb.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Uh-huh. I think, yeah, she's...
She's top-notch and so sexy, too, right? Like,
yeah,
would
no,
they
she's
butcher
hot.
Up a little?
Yeah, she's really hot.
And despite the fact that I don't know what they're thinking with that hair that they give her in these two movies.
Especially the first one. So 80s.
And then this was almost like mullet like,
yeah,
like in T2. So it's just like she's still working the sex factor despite the tragedy that is her hair, you know?
Yeah. And despite that, I quite like John Connor. Edward Furlong is a cute little boy and he's a great actor. Mm. Edward Furlong was a cute little boy and
he's
good
dead?
Actor. Well, he's not a kid anymore.
Oh. I was like, when did he die?
No, he's alive. wants nothing to do with the Terminator franchise.
Really?
Clearly.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I think he's
that's
just over
money
it.
To be made. That's
that is money to be
that's
made.
That's a shame on his part.
Yeah. And I guess maybe he wants more than that because, like, you know, what else do you know Linda Hamilton from?
That's a good point, but girlfriend decided to return, so.
This is true. Well, she was in Dante's Peak.
What the hell? She was in Dante's Peak?
Yeah, she
Where
was.
She in Dante's Peak?
She was the love interest and like the woman in the town with the kids with the volcano.
All I remember that movie is Pierce Brosnan and the old lady melting in like the...
Yeah,
software.
Terrible. Oh my God.
It's the only things I remember from that movie.
Because, yeah, that was devastating.
But I agree. Pierce Brosnan was terrible.
So in the first film, Schwarzenegger had like less than 100 words to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like all about his embodiment. But he was playing a fucking robot, so all he had to do was like sit there and like look pretty and give dry lines. But he did the same thing in this film, but he added a level of humanity to it, and overall it was pretty okay.
I mean, the first one he gave us a great line of, I'll be back.
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to say that. Oh. He's like, I'm a robot. Why am I speaking in conjunctions? I should say, I will be back.
I will be back. That's actually, he makes a very good, wow.
He does make a good point.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, but they were
Arnold
just
Schwarzenegger
like.
Arnold Schwarzenegger can make such good points.
He was a governor of a fucking state. He's a smart guy. Mm. As much as these movies don't want you to believe because he's a robot. But so Schwarzenegger, he's synonymous with this franchise.
Yes.
Now, in my opinion, T2, great movie. And at the end of it, it kind of says we're done, right? We killed the new bad guy that came back to kill John Connor. Now the T-800 is going to sacrifice himself and this future is saved.
I think what makes T2 such a good movie, though, is kind of this moment where like kind of Linda Hamilton's Sarah Connor snaps a little and decides, I'm going to fucking kill the man who brings about the apocalypse, right?
Mm.
And she's ready to kill him in cold blood and stuff, but even then she can't. Like, I love this interesting thing because I think one of the other stories that's playing out is John Connor trying to teach humanity to Arnold Schwarzenegger's robot.
Yes.
And kind of there's a moment of like him seeing his mother becoming a monster as she's ready to kill a man in cold blood in order to stop a robot apocalypse. And that always brings up the question, right? It's just like, is one person's life enough to kill if that means saving 3 billion people?
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. How do you feel about that? Do you think Sarah Connor should have just pulled the trigger?
Yes. If one life can save 1,000 for the greater good.
I think it's about how you go about that life.
It's definitely, I mean, like Sarah Connor was batshit crazy at that point.
She was.
And she snapped.
She had every right to go to be crazy.
But,
oh man, we haven't even talked about like one of the best scenes of the movie, which is, like,
is
the apocalypse scene. Her in the park and she's just like, get out. Oh, she's silent, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, on the chain,
yeah,
the chain fences of, and then like just the skeletons when they started, like just catch fire stuff. That scene used to scare me even when I was a tween
because that's scary.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
yeah,
you know, you're playing off of our, I mean, this is 90, we're kind of post Cold War, but still, Cold War is still not that far.
Yeah.
Far from, you know, we had just finished it.
Yeah.
Cold War is always imminent, especially nowadays, so.
Well, this movie, though, going back to the whole time travel thing, too, like, it they changed their fate. They were able to divert the Skynet thing happening.
Eventually, sort of.
Sort of, sort yeah.
Of. I think and, sort of because, you know, if you watch the rest of the movie, this is just like, but do they?
But, yeah, it's kind of, yeah. Well, in the special edition version, you see, like, an aged grandmother version of Linda Hemp, Sarah Connor, sitting at a bench watching John Connor and his daughter at a park.
And then a nuclear explosion?
No.
Oh, damn.
Nope.
They had a chance.
I think part of James Cameron was ready to wrap up the story, but then I guess he decided not to in case he ever wanted to revisit it. But he didn't. None of the Terminators that came after Terminator 2 had James Cameron involved until this one, Dark Fate.
Oh, he was involved in this one?
Yes.
In Dark Fate?
So the Terminator 2 Judgment Day got a sequel in 2003, a full 13 years later.
The Rise of the Machines.
With Rise of the Machines.
Starring Nick Stahl and Claire Danes.
Yes, no Edward Furlong. The only person that returned was Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're not going to cover that movie, but a quick sum up is that Linda Hamilton's character of Sarah Connor dies in that one. Mm. So it's really just about John Connor because he is the hero anyway.
He's reeling with his mother's death. He knows he's supposed to... He's messing with like this messed up thing where like he knows he was destined for greatness and now he's kind of not a junkie, but like he's a nobody.
He's lost.
And then this opportunity springs. An Alyssa Milano lookalike. I don't know who she was, but in the commercial, I swear to God, I thought it was Alyssa Milano. Who was the other robot?
Yeah.
It was our first female Terminator.
It was our first female Terminator. In T3, there's a girl named Kate that he has a relationship with that is also kind of part, like, kind of his right-hand woman. And we find out that her dad or something is directly responsible for the Skynet apocalypse.
I think he just works at Skynet. I don't know if he was directly responsible.
He was, but he had, like, a big factor in there. Like, we need to get to your dad. And then they reason with the dad. And they're like, go to this place. And then they go to this place. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just, like, a database. And everything's inevitable, but at least I could set up home here. So, yes, like, it's also a weird, definitely leading to more fucking movies, though. But it has this weird kind of undertone to it. Cut to 2011 Salvation, the only film that takes place during the apocalypse. Christian Bale is John Connor. Mm. And we find out that this is when he meets Kyle. And, like, he does the whole thing about setting things into motion for the future.
Wait. Kyle, that was Kyle?
Yeah, the young Kyle was Anton Yelchin was Kyle Reese, yeah.
Oh, no. I was going to say, it's just like, that wasn't the main plot of the movie. I thought the main plot was Steven...
The other guy. Yeah.
Steven, right? He was an Avatar.
Steven?
He was an Avatar? Wasn't that...
I know who you're talking about, yeah.
I want to say his first name is Steven.
The actor Sam Worthington is Sam Marcus Worthington, Wright. Yes.
Sam Worthington from Avatar.
Yes.
Yeah, he is like a cyborg or something. I actually don't remember this movie that well. I did see it in theaters. It was like, meh. But man, does Sam Worthington have an awesome jacket that I wanted to buy so badly. That's the one thing I do remember from this film. It was like, it was a duster, like a black leather duster. So hot. I wanted it. I never could afford one. Check it out, guys. Yeah. I'm going to put a link in the show notes because you must. And this jacket must be admired.
Well, we'll put a jacket thing in the show notes. But yeah, he plays Marcus Wright, who becomes the first human Terminator hybrid experiment.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is when they're playing around with the skin.
Yes.
Okay.
So these are things that we already knew were going to happen, but we kind of like watched them happen. And that's what Terminator Salvation is all about. And I think they wanted more of those movies to happen, but never happened because in 2015, Terminator Genisys came out, which is this really wonky movie that kind of reboots it all. So we meet John Connor in the future, who's played by the dad from Pet Sematary. I think Jason Clarke.
Ew.
I hate him. I did not like his casting, that casting choice. I just don't picture John Connor like that. And there's Kyle Reese and they send him back. Mm-hmm. And there's like a fucking digitally enhanced Schwarzenegger to make him look like 1984s. Mm-hmm. And Emilia Clarke now plays Sarah Connor. And that whole story sets up. But then it's also like John Connor comes back from the future.
Oh, that's right. Olivia Clarke was in this one.
Yeah, Amelia Clarke. Did I say Olivia? Yeah.
Amelia Clarke. Game of Thrones, Daenerys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember. This actually came out not that long ago, right?
Yeah, 2015.
Wow. Yeah, I did not have any interest. I had no interest in seeing this
movie. Was so weird because it just also was like, you know, when you say that like other dimensions kind of happen, or like other kind of like when you create a loop, then multiverses happen. So this is one of those multiverses where John Connor sends back Kyle and kind of stops the Terminator immediately. But then like, because what had happened was that in this movie, if I remember correctly, Sarah Connor was threatened by one earlier than in 1984. So she, by the time 1984 and that Terminator got sent through, she was ready for it.
Mm.
And then all this crazy shit happens. But then like, yeah, John Connor becomes a Terminator and then tries to kill him. It's fucking weird.
Oh, so
it's just all over
the place. Oh, actually, that's right. I remember that was a complaint that I had heard a lot, which is just like the trailer also gave away a lot of the
plot. Trailer did. Yeah. Yes, you find out in the trailer that about that with Jason Clarke is
right.
Him. So it's just like, also, why did you tell us that?
Yeah.
Which is the problem with a lot of trailers these days, because they assume that you're not going to go see the movie.
That's true.
So they just want to tell you most of the important stuff that will get you there.
I will say, though, I think more and more studios are correcting that problem because...
God, I hope so.
Well, no, I would say so, because I knew very little about the new Terminator movie going in.
That's true. Dark Fate, I didn't completely know. I knew
very little about it to the point where like I was going in kind of blind, and I like that feeling. Mm. All I knew was like they focused heavily on like Linda Hamilton being back.
Yes. Yeah. And her saying, I'll be back.
Butch wonderfulness.
Yeah. Well, okay. So now technically we should be covering Terminator Genisys because it is a reboot. But according to this new Terminator with Dark Fate, it retconned everything in between. So from T2 to this, which is technically the third one, none of that matters anything. From 1991's Terminator 2, Judgment Day, to 2019's Terminator, Dark Fate.
I'll be back.
Which is a tactic that was used by Halloween.
Yes, with retconning.
Right. Which is where we were debating, you know, what is this? Do we like this? And I think we were actually on the boat of like, you know what? It worked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
So right off the bat, just be in mind, guys, there's going to be lots of spoilers ahead.
Lots of spoilers. Because I think
you can't talk about this movie without the spoilers.
Not at all.
Because there are plenty.
Yeah. When you went to the movie, by the way, about 2 weeks ago when this came out, the options were the Joker movie that we covered.
Mm-hmm.
Maleficent came out and it beat Maleficent. Maleficent did poorly in the
box really?
Office. Yeah.
Oh.
But unfortunately, Terminator had number one in the box office. It went down all the way to number five this past box office. So technically it is a flop.
Well, what was, I think it's probably going to perform internationally because I'm pretty sure that's why they actually picked up a Terminator was because the international performance of Genisys was actually strong.
Yeah, Genisys was pretty good box office wise. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So we'll see how they do. So
internationally, these movies are quite popular.
Well, the budget for Dark Fate was publicly announced to be around 185 to 196 million, which means it was more.
Jesus Christ. And are you serious?
A lot. And so far,
a lot of money.
It's only raked in about 200 million so far. So it really needs to do well. Mm-hmm. So apparently, not a lot of people have seen this movie, but maybe you're interested in seeing it when it comes out on Netflix or something. So let us tell you about it. Or one of the other many services that you have to pay for. Yeah. Or get your mom's password. But so this one starts off a couple years after the events of Terminator 2.
It takes place in
1998, so 3 years later.
Oh, 3 years after the apocalypse. No. Uh-huh. Oh, I meant a year after the apocalypse.
A year after the apocalypse. So Judgment Day never happened. Apparently that special edition ending too in Terminator 2 needs to be completely ignored because in 1992, a T-800 model, while they're off living their life in Mexico or something,
mm-hmm.
A T-800 model comes and kills John Connor in cold blood. And Sarah then mourns the loss of her son. And she was like, we averted the apocalypse. This is great. Now let's live our lives. And nope, bam, he's dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then the movie cuts all the way to now. Or maybe next year, 2020.
Yeah,
and we meet a brand new character. Her name is Daniela Ramos, but they name her, she goes by Danny. She lives in Mexico City.
Yes.
She's just like an average worker working at a plant of some sort, of almost technological
like a,
plant.
What's it called? Almost like a chef's tour for like a union, right? Because she is against machines taking over the jobs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. Yeah. Which is also very true to people who work. Yeah. They probably work at places like that in Mexico.
Lives with her hot brother. Attractive father. Hot beautiful brother. Family, I gotta say.
I mean, yeah, well, they're Spanish. Don't
damage. Taquito.
Yeah.
Who did not get enough love in this movie, I think.
Yeah. He died pretty quickly. And then out of nowhere, this freaking machine comes, disguises her father to kill her.
Well, it's not out of nowhere, Nicole. Like, we saw the Terminator.
Well, according to her. According to her. According to the viewer, yes, not out of nowhere. This machine is called the Rev-9.
Oh, that's right. They called it the Rev-9 movie. Yeah. This is technically a new apocalypse.
Yes. But luckily, there is someone else there that has been sent back to save her. A beautiful white woman named Grace.
Grace, who is played by...
Mackenzie Davis.
And her most famous role is actually in Black Mirror
and San Junipero.
Yes, yep. Another lesbian fantasy.
Another. You say another.
I'm saying that here because this is such heavily coded lesbian.
Why didn't they just fucking go for
it? I agree with you. Why didn't they just go there? But I think the subtext is so rich here that it's just like, I appreciate it.
No.
The subtext was just good enough. This was a very she was a lesbionic love. And I love it.
You know what?
You get it?
I got lesbionic. Yeah. Listen, okay. If they went for it and you saw that graphic sexuality in the first one, then make me remember that hotness and go for it in this one. Instead, she became a mother figure. Something that upset my girlfriend even more than it upset me. But still, it's very upsetting.
I don't disagree with you. Actually, I kind of wish they would have just gone full lesbian in this story. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, like, there is a age difference, right? Where what's it called, like, two women, they can't procreate, so they're going to create the savior child, right? So mm-hmm. And then the other thing is just like, by the time in the future when Danny meets Grace, you know, in their timeline, like, you know, Grace, Danny's still a child basically and stuff. So it's just like, I understand why they didn't go that route in terms of the timeline, in terms of time wise it just mm-hmm. would have been kind of, you know, not inappropriate because, like, they're both consenting adults, but, like, you know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah, I mean, no, I know what you mean, but still, like, snore and snooze fest.
I'm not saying it's just, like, I don't think they did... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, as a member of the LGBTQ community, I mm-hmm. wish they would have just gone that full way. However, yes. I think with the subtext being so rich and, like, unintentional, because mm-hmm. that's the thing. It was very, very unintentional, and I think that's what makes this movie so much better. That's the subtext was just so kind of, like... Wow, these people were so stupid.
Yeah, they didn't even realize
because what they had. In interviews, the director has said, it's just like, we are trying not to sexualize our characters and stuff. It's just like, wrong. Like, already Grace was one of the sexiest women on film.
With
her tank
top,
her jacked arms, mm-hmm. her haircut. Mm-hmm. Even Linda Hamilton brings a sexiness to this role.
Yeah.
As an older, you know, Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
And Danny. I mean, Danny was just gorgeous. You know what I mean? Yeah. She reminded me of a young Salma Hayek.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things, though, that this movie, unfortunately, in my opinion, got wrong, because they had all this raw sexual energy that they didn't capitalize on. You know, like, I think most of us in the LGBT community were, like, waiting, like, biting our fingernails, and it never happened, and then the mom thing was dropped, and we all went, fuck you, to the screen.
No, I didn't, but...
You didn't care as much. But other than that, there was a complete lack of character development.
Oh, I see. I also disagree with you there.
So... Okay, so before we get into the things that we may or may not have liked, pretty much Grace is sent back to save Danny, who's now the new John Connor.
Yes, that's the big difference.
That is
too.
The big thing. There's John Connor's dead. First fucking 5 minutes, don't care about John Connor. Brand new thing, right? Mm-hmm. So Danny is now the new savior for the human resistance because Sarah and John were able to prevent Skynet from happening. But by preventing Skynet from happening, they gave birth to a brand new threat.
I think the actually most important thing is Danny, who is the MacGuffin for the first two acts of the film until they finally, like, give her. Once you find out that she is... Because the other thing, right? Like, all right. We're living in an era where all these movies are just remixes of other movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
Yes.
By... this should be on a flat level. It's basically a remix of the original one.
Yes.
Right? The difference is being it's just like, now we have a Hispanic girl in the lead. Instead of her, what's it called? Like, Sarah Connor even makes the assumption that she's going to give birth to the next leader, right? That's her assumption,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where she's just like, they don't want you. They just want you for your womb. It's not until the beginning of the third act where we learn. It's just like, no. She is the future one. And I think, for me, that worked out because I was under against the impression of that they were going to use similar beats of the movie, the original one.
Yeah.
In which that Dany is going to give birth to a leader. But instead, it's just like she's going to be the leader of the rebellion. And they have her hero moment in her cornrows as she's like getting the people to unite and Grace for the first time, I think.
Right. Yeah.
There falls in love. I actually kind of do like the fact that like Grace, I think Grace was a lesbian. I don't think Dany was. But I think Grace was the one who was madly in love and like kind of like that kind of. I think a lot of love that like a lot of homosexual feel at one point in their life where they're in love with their straight friend.
Aww.
And I think that's kind of also how I was reading it too, where I wasn't, it's a little more tragic.
Wow. I hear you saying reading it. So you took a lot.
It's subtext. There's so much subtext in this movie.
Giving the movie way more credit than it deserves.
This movie gets all that credit. This is definitely the gayest Terminator movie we have.
By far the gayest, but it didn't actually, it's like Nightmare on Elm Street 3 or 4 when it was like a really, really gay horror movie, but it didn't want to be. Yeah, 2. It was 2? Okay. It's like kind of one that it's like by default. But anyway, by the way, it's Legion. That was Skynet's successor, was Legion.
Oh, Legion.
And so she is the leader of the resistance against Legion. It's weird. Lesbian. Legion.
Gasp.
Coincidence? We think not. I think...
for love.
To me, it misses out on a bunch of character development just because there was so much action.
There was a lot of action.
There was too much action. Oh, I feel like it was more than any other action. Like, even in the second film where you're like, oh my God, this guy doesn't die. I feel like there was way more action than when there could have been character development in The Dark Fate.
Okay.
I also feel like Sarah Connor in particular didn't have enough development in terms of coming to terms with the fact that John Connor has died.
Because she's an old lady at this point, and like it has been like almost 2 decades since he's died.
That doesn't mean shit.
It does. Well, you're right, it doesn't. Like, a mom is gonna mourn the loss of her son at all times. But like I disagree with you there, because I think part of her journey is also coming to terms with the fact that like Dany is the new John Connor.
Now, that was also very interesting. And this was something that I don't know if this was the film trying to give this to me or kind of like the subtext that I'm picking up from the writers and the filmmakers of the film. But it almost seemed like being a mother is not good enough. Because Sarah was there convinced so much, and she was being really like cynical, and she was just like, oh, let me guess, you're the new Mary, mother, like Mother Mary or something. And then she's like, no, she's actually resistant. She's not no stupid mother. And then Sarah's like, oh, I suck. But it's like, but you as a woman with being a mother to John Connor were strong enough and like good enough. Like, it's almost as if the film is saying, you know, like Sarah wasn't as important as her son was.
I don't think I read that.
I read that.
It's interesting. Her qualm here isn't necessarily with the fact that like that she's the mom, because like I think we all like all the movies have established that Sarah Connor is as important. She is a Virgin Mary, right? Because without Virgin Mary, there is no Jesus. So yes, you need a Virgin Mary, and that's why in Christianity she's so revered. However, I'm trying to create a counter argument to your whole idea about like motherhood, because I didn't get that feeling that like isn't she? What are you trying to say?
But that's the thing. What is the movie also trying to say? Because then Dany, it turns out, was kind of like this weird mothering like figure to Grace. But at the same time, she was very like, and she was like kind of what this movie's all about, where all of the women are very like action oriented, almost kind of like machismo in their actions. You know, like they're butch. They're unemotional. They exhibit
lipstick
in the beginning, but who she becomes, who Grace learns to love her as, is not that.
Ooh, that's a good point. You got me there.
So then it just kind of also, and it's also the fact that Hollywood has picked up on the fact that white men can't be heroes anymore. It has to be women. That's why they killed off John Connor and made Dany the new hero, right? Okay. But these women are embodying masculine traits. Which then becomes odd, because then it's almost like the movie is just like Sarah as a mother, and just that was her contribution wasn't good enough because she wasn't the actual hero. Danny's the actual hero.
So I actually argue that Dany isn't the hero of this film.
Mm-hmm.
She is the MacGuffin throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
I think the hero is at the end of this movie still Sarah Connor. They made, like, I think she is the hero through and through in this film, even more so than Grace, who does sacrifice herself for the greater good. But Sarah Connor is the one who is ultimately going to teach Danny how to be a leader.
Because she was once her. And then her son was once her.
Because she was doing the same thing to her son.
Yeah. So she becomes a mother again.
I don't think it has to do with mother. I think Sarah Connor is... because if we're going by T2, she was never a good mother.
Well, yeah, but that's also... But her role as giving birth to John was so important. And then that was just completely eliminated within the first 5 minutes. Right. So then the movie also, it's like, Grace hates her. And it's like, you're fucking useless. What good are you? If you're also, your biggest claim to fame is that you were once Mother Mary. If you're Mother Mary, why do I want to punch you?
I think that's why, yes, she does say that. But I think that's also why Sarah Connor here is kind of showing, it's just like, well, I'm more than just a mother. I don't think it's bad-mouthing mothers, like motherhood.
Well, I think it's a subconscious thing that I was also picking up from the writing room. That's why I'm like, I don't know if it was the movie outwardly saying this too, because it's also like, Danny was ended up being the mother figure to Grace, so it wasn't completely that. But it's also the movie kind of got lost in all of that because
there was a lot of
there should have been lesbians. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Had this movie had lesbians, would you have?
Yeah, no. If there was a sex scene, I'd be like, "This movie is awesome." Had I seen some lesbing out, but then there was also this weird father aspect with the T-800.
This is another. So I actually like that aspect. It was kind. So if you look at the two Terminators that are in this film, right? Mm-hmm. You have the new one who is played by a Hispanic. Is it our first Hispanic?
I think so.
Terminator. I think so too. Mm-hmm. But he is again kind of. If you represent him, he is like toxic masculinity, right? Like all brawn can split into two, as all men do, and. Then you have the new Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator, who comes in and he's kind of a breakdown of what, or actually an evolution of masculinity.
Yeah.
Where he is a caregiver, a provider. He is not even a sexual partner to this woman that he's taking care of, but like just literally her emotional support and just there for her, raising a child with her. Interesting fact, like that. I love the fact that Sarah Connor ever was. Ooh, good point. No, hang on. But my interesting fact is just like that. So you hit with like a Hispanic kid. I was just like, wow, is that really what they should have done with Arnold Schwarzenegger's past? Right? That's all I kept thinking about.
Oh, like pretty much a slap across the face for Maria Shriver.
You said that. Being a better parent than Sarah Connor ever was. Sarah Connor never had that opportunity to be a good parent. She unfortunately didn't.
She didn't.
She was never.
She had the.
She had the burden of like trying to stop the apocalypse
and being a human being and not being a fucking robot. Which is what all men are anyway. But no,
all white men is what this movie is saying.
But then it's like every action that she continues on, she gets these mysterious texts that someone keeps saying for John, which ends up being him. And then his last words when he sacrifices himself are for John.
Those are
like very sentimental and all this stuff, which is also. Do we know if this is the same T-800 from T2 or if this is a different model?
No, it's a different model. It's a different model. What Sarah Connor said was that the future Skynet sends all these different Terminators to different points in John's life to kill him. But even when they stop the apocalypse, because they had already gone through time, they're going to end up in their present, right? Again, this is where the time theory gets all wonky.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, when she kills him, when she's like kind of expositioning what happened to him, I think she says it. I think she captured the tragedy in all of it in one line. Is just like, you know, they killed him for a future that never even happens.
Yeah,
and I was just like, that's so fucked up.
That is, poor John Connor. And poor Sarah Connor too.
Yeah,
you know, poor Sarah Connor. Poor Connor family. There's this bad trend in movies these days too, where I feel like they have like a multi-camera setup to catch everything from like multiple angles, but then like the editing because of it is so quick. And like not concise. The movie ends with one of its many battles with this huge thing that happened at the Hoover Dam. But I couldn't get a concise picture in my own head of what was happening because of the way it was filmed and edited. So it was very lackluster for me too, because I'm like, I feel like I should be feeling the impact of this more and understanding it more, but I'm not. I'm just seeing a bunch of shots of them like hanging somewhere. And it just like, it didn't all add up, which is interesting too, because James Cameron was involved in this, right? He like okayed the story and everything. And he was heavily involved in the editing process. Of course, he did not film the movie. Tim Miller filmed it. This is only his second film after Deadpool. But at the same time, like, it's also just, you know, these new filmmakers are coming from a brand new school of film,
right?
Which is very much like cut costs and, you know, film from every angle and more CGI inspired. So it just sucks too, because everything nowadays in film just feels so bland and so far removed that I can't really get a good sense of atmosphere. You know, I went to film school watching Kubrick films, which set up an amazing sense of atmosphere in other films. And now I'm stuck going to the theater watching films that don't know how to set up atmosphere.
I mean, as someone who consumes this media, like, it was easy. Straightforward for me. I think for the general public,
but that's the thing.
This is fine.
You're letting it slide.
I'm not letting it slide. I don't think. Yeah, I guess I am letting it slide. You're right. I am letting it slide. And I'm letting it slide only because, like, I think the movie itself was actually good.
It's no different than, and you're right, I shouldn't be so cruel to it, where it's no different than anything else that comes out, but it had the opportunity to. Every movie has the opportunity to, and you could just be kind of like basic gay shit like everything else. And that's what kind of, like, at least filming wise, this movie turned out to be, especially with how much action there was and not enough character development, not enough sitting down and actually having the characters bond.
Really? I think the characters, they were running so much.
They, for 2 seconds until the guy came again trying to kill them. Now, the great, you know, the actor Diego Luna, I think is his name.
I think that is his name.
Yes. You know, great, terrifying, would never fucking stop, could speak any language and could even, you know, go into, like, the U.S. Border Patrol and
could split into two.
Yeah,
I think that's what kind of made it more terrifying.
That was scary as shit. But I don't know. I was just, that was one of the things too, where I was like, I feel like, you know, like, okay, in comparison, now this is a very unfair comparison, but, you know, when Alfred Hitchcock did this whole, like, airplane crashing scene in 1940 in Foreign Correspondent, I had an excellent sense of how it all happened and where they were in atmosphere. And it just sucks where I have an almost identical scene of an airplane crashing and just, like, not really knowing 100% what's going on. So it's just a bummer as to the type of filmmaking that's very much in style now that, yeah, you can follow along, but it's just not beautiful to watch.
Right. I want to get off the topic of aesthetics for this movie for a little bit, because I kind of want to continue this conversation of Latinx representation in films,
because
I actually, again, the trailer didn't lead me to believe that we were going to be following a Latina.
No, I had no idea.
I didn't know that they were going to be front and center, that this was going to take place in Mexico.
Yeah,
I was actually thinking they were going to take place in China, because the movie, you know, Genesis had performed so well in China that it's just like they pandered to that audience.
Yeah.
Instead, they kind of, without knowing it, pander to me a little, and yeah. I was kind of here for it, to be honest.
Oh, I see. So you bought it.
Well, not that, I didn't feel that they were pandering to me. I'm being facetious there. Because the movie didn't market itself as such, that it was just really about the glorious return of Linda Hamilton, this movie didn't market itself as being, like, kind of a Latinx story. As a result, they ended up just they gave me a Latinx protagonist who was strong, who was, you know, I think she was just a nice character, to be honest, despite the fact that she was kind of not really developed until the very end, where we finally see her as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's just because of her role in the film. She, like I said, she is the MacGuffin for this movie, as was Sarah Connor in the original one. She is playing Sarah Connor from the original one.
Yeah.
And Sarah Connor had little development also, I'd say. And then also to have a Latinx Terminator. Now, you could call him Latinx for sure, because he could, like, change sex if he wanted to. He doesn't have to be this imposing, you know, felt Latin man. He's kind of hot.
Yeah,
he grew on me. I didn't like him at first, but I was just like, you know, I see the appeal. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of the opposite side of the spectrum here. For I think that the film had a complete lack of development, so I wish I could care more about the fact that the hero was this beautiful Latinx woman who I could relate to, because she just wasn't really developed for me. I think that, so I wrote, one of my big notes was John Connor killed due to PC culture?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And I feel like he was, because there's, okay, so backing track a little. You ever see Alien 3?
Yes.
You remember how in Aliens, the character that Michael Biehn played, the one soldier that, like, lived with Ellen Ripley, was probably as important in that movie, and you, like, grew to love him, and, like, you had him developed.
Yeah.
And then Alien 3 begins and he just dies like that.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa, okay, a character that I loved and was looking forward to is just died and then that's it. Uh-huh. It's like a lot. That's how I felt about John Connor being killed in the opening. Now, I also want to talk about how amazing that CGI was.
Oh, great CGI. The CGI was
unbelievable. They looked straight out of 1991. I was like, holy shit, all three of them. But John Connor just literally just dies and that's it. No more John Connor. Mm. And that was a bit much for me. And I get it. I'm torn. I like the fact that we're seeing more women heroes. I don't like the fact that Hollywood pretty much knows, well, we can't make men, white men, our heroes anymore. So let's just kill John Connor and put a Latina woman in there.
I don't know. But I don't feel like that's... I don't think... And I maybe it's just like they just didn't market it that way. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think necessarily... I think...
The movie is more important than its marketing, though, just because they didn't market it that way.
I think you're right. Yeah. The movie is more important. But I don't think... The fact that, like, she is Latinx doesn't matter.
No.
And I think that's why it's important. They're not harping on the fact that she's a Latinx person who becomes a leader of the revolution and stuff. Yeah. It's just, this is just her story.
For sure.
It just happens to be, you know, this is just where she's from. They could have taken the story and kind of made it, you know, she could have been Chinese, she could have been Japanese, she could have been Brazilian.
You're 100%
right
about that.
And I think because it is... It goes that route where it's not like she could have been black, right?
Yeah.
If they had gone somewhere where it was like, this is like, there's not a politically motivated message in it, in the casting itself. Sometimes casting like this can feel like very, very politicized. Mm-hmm. This doesn't feel that way. This kind of feels like almost arbitrary. And because it was arbitrary and stuff, it's refreshing to see a Latinx person in this genre front and center.
It does. I guess also because it wasn't developed well enough and it got to the point where I don't know if it was the writing or I don't want to say it was the acting because I quite enjoyed the actress. But at the same time, even when they flash forwarded to her and like with Grace and stuff, I didn't buy it. And I was like, this is our age. Like, I don't even believe that any of these people would like not gangbang her. That's a terrible thing to say, but like if you're going to show the future, like these people would probably all clobber her because she's this little thing. But it's not even her size.
She's already had an army.
She did, which they didn't really know about. And it's not so much about her size. I think it's also just about the writing and stuff. But at the end of the day, too, it's like, well, why was John Connor eliminated? Someone who is so important to this franchise.
Well.
Could it just simply be that Edward Furlong didn't want to come back? I don't know.
I mean, as I just said earlier, it's just like, God, I fucking hated John Connor. Are we watching this?
Well, but everyone like, else, but that's, do John Connor
really
important.
Like John Connor?
I think they do.
I don't know why.
I think people really enjoyed him in the first and the second one.
Mm.
And even though Sarah Connor was killed off in T3. So right. It's like, this isn't the first time that they just, but I guess.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Like we followed Nick Stahl's John Connor, who I didn't like that much. I actually liked Claire Danes.
Yeah. John Connor was more constant in all these other versions of, and I agree with you. I liked Claire Danes more in all the Terminators than Sarah Connor. But the only one that came back in this one is Sarah Connor and not, which is interesting.
But Sarah Connor is the one who got her own TV show.
She did. And if we were to consider this a complete trilogy, the only one that's constant in all of them is Sarah Connor. In the first one, she gives birth to him. She's trying to save him. And then in the third one, he's dead. And then a brand new fucking multi-universe is happening in their world.
A new messiah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I had a couple of days to digest how I felt about it. And I'm coming to the conclusion that I didn't like it. Like, I didn't like the fact that there was no John. I would be okay with Danny maybe if there was still John. Or like in some capacity more John. Like he was just, especially with the first and the second, and this is technically the third, him just being killed like that was just too much for me to completely move forward with the story and buy it.
Interesting.
And I do feel like I'm being pandered to a little bit just because of political correctness culture. But at the same time, like I like the actress. And then on top of all this insulting stuff, they didn't les out. And that was just the worst.
Well, here's the thing where I'm also not going to say like it's just like Hollywood gave us a Latinx. They gave us a Latinx Sarah Connor. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was still white saviors that saved the day. Right.
Because of Sarah and Grace. And the Terminator.
Yeah, you're right. It's just like we just had a Latinx like heroine towards the end and stuff. But like at the end of the day, like this is still a whole front and center white people.
Yeah, true.
Who are kind of the active characters. Mm. Where obviously Danny, because of her circumstances, as was Sarah Connor in the first one, a passive character.
Yeah.
So it's just like I'm not. Then again, and this is why I'm not necessarily saying I'm not saying that this is like the greatest movie for all Latin representation. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is just, I think that when Hollywood can take these steps of putting like a person of color like in a role that is important without kind of making such a big deal about this,
yeah,
right, is where I think we're moving in the right direction, because having a Latinx Sarah Connor isn't a big deal.
It shouldn't be.
Right?
No.
And they played it as such.
My problem is more so at the, this happened, Hollywood made the decision because they had to sacrifice a very essential character to this franchise for it. And I was just left a little bitter about it.
Yeah, I really didn't think twice about that.
Yeah. Well, and we all, okay, we get it, Rolando. You don't like Jenna Connor.
I actually saw T2, like, it's so funny. I actually saw T2, rewatched it after watching this new one.
Dark Fate.
And I was, even then, I was just like,
what did Eddie think of it?
Oh, Eddie loved this movie.
He loved it?
He really did not want to go in there to see this film. And he came out like, just like, you know what? Like, this was a well-told movie.
Look at that.
I think I think we both came out like pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And
this movie was a surprise.
I think it was.
Yeah. For me too, I did not really know where it was going to go.
Right.
I remember like certain scenes in the movie and like when she's like, I'll be back, and she destroys the thing and stuff. And I'm like, ugh. You know, stupid,
you know what a fucking shame that she also didn't say, come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, that was the one thing in all of them.
Eddie made a good point when he saw it. It's just like, it's not her line to say. It's not, that was Kyle Reese and Schwarzenegger. It would feel like, or like having her say, it's just like, I'll be back, already felt forced as it was.
Yeah.
So
yeah, her delivery of it was like, so
she did not want to say that. Although I kind of feel like maybe, to be honest, like her saying just like, come with me if you want to live, might have felt more organic than, yeah, I'll be back. So,
and yeah, seriously.
Missed opportunity on that. But
definitely.
You know what? Linda Hamilton needs a paycheck. What is Linda Hamilton known for other than this film?
Not much.
Is it where her acting career just fizzled out?
Other than Dante's Peak?
Oh, that's, you said that and I also had no
idea. She was in Children of the Corn.
I thought that was Christy Alley.
No, that was definitely not Christy Alley. That was Linda Hamilton.
Was she in A Children of the Corn? Oh, wait, no.
She was in Children of the
Village
Corn.
Of the Damned.
Yeah, you're thinking of something else. I mean, let me throw some movies at you. She was in Missing in America, Broken, Shadow Conspiracy.
No, okay. Right,
well. So actually, after the Terminator movie, she kind of like was rarely in movies. I mean, I'm looking at her filmography right now. She's not in a lot. You know, she's not really... Yeah.
Interesting.
What were you
gonna
say?
More in terms of more lesbianic tones here in the movie, undertones. There was a scene where like Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor is fighting with Grace in the hotel room, and then like poor Danny gets caught in the middle. And she's just, and you know, Linda's just like, sometimes when mommy and daddies are fighting, you know, kids stay outside.
Yeah,
It was like two lesbians fighting over the one.
I feel like I would be all about like that whole like undertones if they had just delivered a little bit more. Like the filmmakers were blissfully unaware of it. And
I don't disagree with you. I actually think this movie probably would have risen to greatness had they just like gone for the kiss.
Yeah.
Grace had just gone for the kiss.
Especially at the end when she's about to die and like she touches her lips.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I agree with you.
I'm like,
I'm not,
kiss her.
I don't disagree with you. I like this movie a lot. I think this movie was good, but I think this movie could have just risen to like greatness had it just been over.
Yeah. So did you think this remake was needed? This reboot, revival, whatever this qualifies as, was it needed?
Yes. I do think it was needed, only because the reason I think it's also needed is just because, again, I think Hollywood might be figuring out the right formula for kind of reviving some of these old franchises, as they did with Halloween, where it's just like, fuck it, we're going to retcon everything and kind of just create a new timeline, a new continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a continuity I can get behind. Do I need another one? I don't think so. But the performances are strong enough where I'm just like, I might watch it. I might want to see Danny lead the revolution.
Okay.
I'm assuming if we follow, though, the logic, though, Danny would be Sarah Connor going crazy trying to kill whoever's going to develop the robots of Legion. So.
Yeah, well, now if the only person she has by her side is Sarah Connor, she's definitely going to lose her shit.
Which I would totally watch. I would totally watch a Thumb and Louise movie style. Sarah Connor and Danny.
Yeah, you'll never be Grace. Yeah, definitely. I think, was this movie needed for me? No. I think that the Terminator franchise was a franchise that should have never been a franchise. Mm-hmm. I think it should have ended at T2 and everything would have been great. But the rest of the other movies happened. But especially with Terminator Genesis, where it was just like, wow, what the fuck did they just do? This makes this film kind of even more confusing. And then it also just like my ever-present mentality of the awareness of what Hollywood producers are trying to give me or what they think they want to give me, and then subsequent hidden undertones of sexism popping up in these movies is just kind of like messing me up.
You found sexism in this movie?
Well, we talked about that, where I'm like, I felt like the filmmakers weren't okay with the fact that like she's a mom, and that in order for like a badass woman in these movies, she's just got to be like as man as she can be. Like, but unsexualized and not a mom and just badass.
Her motherhood never went away, though. I think she was always mourning the loss of her son.
I guess so.
No, she definitely was. That's why she's on this, like, mission to kill any Terminator that comes that for this future that doesn't exist.
I mean, yeah, but it also gave her purpose. And it just, like, was, if she was just obsessed with the fact that, like, she had somewhat of a part to do in, like, the apocalypse of the world. So, at the end of the day, Sarah Connor was incredibly vain.
I mean, we know that from
number two. We know that from two, but still. So it was just, I don't know, it was something that the movie was not even another like thing that the movie didn't even know was giving me that I was picking up on because I'm super smart. So it was just like crazy.
Some more political notes in this movie that I also don't know how I feel about it was one of the scenes took place in a detention center after they were trying to cross the border and stuff. It again, it kind of felt more like a setting and less of a political message.
Yes, yeah.
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I am okay with that. However, there was a point where like the Terminator is like killing all these white people as like the Mexicans are escaping. I'm just calling them Mexicans, South Americans, or
the people in the detention center
down south of the border. Yeah, they're escaping and stuff. And I think there was a part of me yelling. I was just like kind of wishing. It was just like, ugh, I wish the real people in these detention centers had their own Terminator who could like free them.
Yeah. You know, that is exactly what I was thinking too. It was weird to see.
It is. Well, it, yeah, because you're this, he's a bad guy and he's killing who we me specifically in my right now political sphere that I'm living in right now, I'm feeling it's just like they're the fucking bad guys too.
Yeah,
kill them. Yeah. I know there's a great scene too, one of my favorite scenes, because I feel like this is what I feel like white people are like. But when Grace wakes up and she's like, after she kicks the ass of all the guys who are like taking pictures of her, right? And she goes to the one lady and she's just like, "We're the prisoners." And she's just like, "They're not prisoners. They're called detainees." I'm like, yeah, this is the kind of rationalization that Republicans are doing to themselves.
Yeah.
And I kind of was so happy when she smacked the shit out of her.
Yeah, no, that was a funny moment. That made me laugh out loud. I mean, it's definitely this weird moment where you're watching something that you would very much like to happen in real life. So you get like this sense of justice in like that brief moment, even if it's just like an internal thing that the movie doesn't really harp on. But then like the sad reality kicks in that this isn't what's happening. And no matter your fucking political stance, like what's happening at the border is terrible and inhumane.
It is.
And it's sad.
It is.
Should we do a lightning round? Pew,
lightning round.
Favorite version of Sarah Connor?
Oh, new one.
New one?
New one. Dark Fate. Yeah. The new Sarah Connor.
Definitely second one. She was just so crazy. So like the beginnings of her butchiness. And she'd be the one that it would most want to fuck.
So you have a thing for silver foxes. Is that what they're called when they're ladies?
Silver foxes?
That's what men are called, silver foxes.
Oh, I've never heard that term.
No?
I think, are you talking about like a cougar or something?
I guess cougar, but cougars usually don't have graying hair.
Oh, well, was her hair gray or was it just like a dried up blonde?
No. It was like, it was gray. Like was it? Gray, silver, yeah.
Well, she was crazy, so of course she turned herself gray.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite version of Terminator T-800?
Oh, I'm going to go with, you know what? I actually might go with the original one.
Yeah?
Yeah, the first Terminator. The first Terminator? Like straight up killing machine.
Mm. Well, he didn't sell drapes in that one.
No, he didn't. I forgot. He's so, Carl's drapes. Yeah. That's his name in this movie, Carl.
Carl. It's Carl. Ridiculous. It's one. I was literally waiting for him when he was dying to say for John. I was like, just say it. Just say it. Just say it. And then he finally said it. And I was like, this movie's so freaking predictable.
Well, he was texting her for John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you knew that's how his would be his last words.
Hasta la vista.
If you didn't know that.
Hasta la vista should have been his last
words. They could have done a left turn. They didn't.
But obviously, this Terminator would not have known that. So
yeah. Who's your favorite going back in time to save the person? Is it Kyle? Is it T-800? Or is it Grace?
Grace.
Grace.
I'm going to vote for Grace on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Grace too.
She was much more flawed than Kyle. Because Kyle was given like kind of like a hero thing. Like she kind of had, you know, she was in the war. She was kind of weak growing up. She witnessed the apocalypse.
She was hot.
She was hot. I disagree with you. Like they develop her wonderfully. I think they kind of
Give you plot points about her, but than that, that's it.
No plot points. She's in love, you know, and subtext.
But do we know if she's in love with Danny? Do we know anything about
her personal
life? It's called
subtext. I'm reading between the lines. She's madly
in love. You're making it up for the movie. She's
madly in love with Danny.
Yeah, she's
this actress that read the script and was just like, ugh. Obviously she's in love and I'm reading it, I'm playing it as such.
Well, I will give that to the actress. I won't give that to the script or the movie.
I'm gonna give it to the actress. She was
Mackenzie Davis.
She's Mackenzie Davis.
Pretty good. Good work, Mackenzie Davis.
She's gonna go places. She needs more roles.
She does.
Yesterday.
I feel like lesbian movies are always just like, we always just have to deal with the undertones. We never get to see it. Such bullshit. I'm tired. Give it to me already.
You know, Aliens, again, we're going back to Aliens, but Alien Resurrection also did that with
Winona Ryder
and Sigourney Weaver.
God damn it, James Cameron, just go there.
Oh, man, there you go.
Alrighty, well, that was it on Terminator. Will we be back to this franchise?
Yes.
We probably will. Yeah.
But so. We're not going to cover that, probably.
Yeah, this is it for us, so we're going to have to say hasta la vista to the Terminator.
Shit, you beat me to it. I wanted to figure out how to organically say that. Hasta la vista, guys. And until next time,
stay original.